one of my greatest fears is those that lie to us during the pandemic will never be held accountable.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the Wednesday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. A lot of ground to cover today. A little different than yesterday and Monday. But I want to take some time to cover some important stories that oftentimes get missed. Back on Monday, I really didn't have time to share this yesterday, and when I record the program, there was no way to do it for Monday. But one of my least favorite people appeared before the United States House of Representatives. And that is, and pardon me for calling him this, I call him the human cockroach, Anthony Fauci. I'm sorry, but I worked in emergency management from the very beginning of the pandemic in 2020, and I saw the lies, the manipulation, the propaganda, the terrible decisions coming out of various agencies like the NIH, the agency headed by Dr., as I call him, Fraud Fauci, Rochelle Walensky over at the CDC, the protocols that came from there, I think destined many people to die totally and absolutely unnecessarily. And one of the things that I fear the most is those that took advantage of this pandemic, knowing the truth, that's the worst part. Many of them knew. Many of them knew that they were standing before the American people and lying. Dr. Fauci is one of them. And as far as I'm concerned, he still lies today. He is incapable of telling the truth. And there on Monday, he's his waffling self. He's dodging to the left, dodging to the right, distancing himself from anything that would be negative about how they responded. I mean, he was just an innocent victim. And yet there's an email chain, and the emails they tried to hide using Gmail, trying to hide the lab leak theory. And even on Monday, he's still trying to resurrect the idea. Well, you know, some of the experts said it could have come from a bat in Wuhan kind of nonsense. The man refuses to be held accountable. Absolutely refuses to take responsibility for the evil, the destruction, the deaths, the destroyed lives, homes, families, and businesses. And he did it for politics, along with Dr. Birx, another one that needs to be held 100% responsible for the evil things they did. By the way, do you know between 2021 and 2023, the NIH received $710 million in royalties from big pharmaceutical companies? And let me say that again. The NIH received $710 million in royalties from pharmaceutical companies between 2021 and 2023. Fauci, of course, says, yeah, he didn't get any of that, but, you know, we don't know. The man is just a unrepentant liar. And he went to, you know, a Catholic school and, you know, he got married in a Catholic chapel, but he pretty much rejects anything with religion now. He is his own God. And it's sad that the NIH doesn't, you know, they don't want to report how much money they get and where it comes from. They don't think they have to disclose anything. Even though they're funded by you and I, the taxpayer, they don't think they're accountable. I think of those. Guy named Dr. McCormick, he treated patients during COVID, as many others did, and they were threatening people's medical licenses for not following the dastardly protocols. I've said this 100 times on this program, and I really didn't want to get into this, but I feel the need to. Dr. Fauci's a liar. People use this pandemic for political gains. I really believe it was also used to illegally change election law, mail out ballots, and all that. It was used to push an agenda from the World Economic Forum for a fourth industrial revolution global reset. And these people, and I'm just going to come out and say it, these people absolutely have no conscience. They could care less So some little kid dies or some grandma dies on a ventilator in a hospital. Who cares? It was good collateral damage, because never let a good crisis go to waste. I lost friends to the vaccine. I know that with no doubt in my mind. And I know people that escaped dying in a hospital because of these absurd and insane protocols that were being used. A good friend of mine was in a VA hospital in Florida, and his wife and son and lawyer went there on a weekend and got him out and saved his life. I believe hundreds of thousands of people unnecessarily died because of the protocols put in place. And the worst part is then we have this emergency use authorized vaccine, because even though the same CDC back in 2003, 4, and 5 had discovered with a coronavirus that things like hydroxychloroquine were highly effective treatments, they couldn't have it now because, see, if they used it now, then they couldn't have the vaccine. Do you understand? An emergency use authorization is only given if there's no other remedy available. And so these sick, I think demonically possessed, angry political individuals, and those that were going to make a lot of money on it as well and didn't care, they have no conscience. They don't care who dies. We have kids that'll have permanent injury because of the vaccines. We have people now that regret ever taking it. Hey, even Chris Cuomo, that was a big advocate for everybody mask up, get your vaccine, shut up, and do as you're told, now admits that he is vaccine injured. And maybe we shouldn't have suppressed ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. Well, they were known to work, but they had to suppress it because, see, once you admit that, then the emergency use authorization vanishes and that vaccine would be taken off the market. There's a woman that lives in Minnesota. Her name is Estelle Senapol. Full-time worker from home, had a busy life, good health. And one day she needed to have something taken care of at the hospital. She had no idea. I mean, she didn't have any COVID symptoms. But she ended up going to the hospital. And there at the hospital, they decided she must have COVID. Her story is frightening, but her story is not uncommon. And so I welcome to Truth to Ponder, Estelle Senapol. Estelle, I've read your story, and now, if you'd be so kind of let the audience know of what you went through at the hospital.
Well, it was July 26th, 2021. I had a full-time job, my own car, my own place, my own life, and I started sleeping like 12 hours a day. But when I had a little persistent cough, I was still able to work full-time. But then I thought I saw blood in my stool. And so I thought, well, maybe I have cancer. So I went to the emergency room Sunday evening, and they said I had COVID and I had to be admitted to the hospital. And I thought, this is COVID, big deal. I'm hardly sick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could sip water and make my phone calls. That's what I did. And, but they said they had to admit me, and it was like there was no choice. While I was still in that exam room, waiting to be put in a room, a doctor came into the room, just flying in, did not introduce himself, got real close to my face, and said, "Do you want to go on the ventilator?" And I said, "Oh." You know, like I wasn't having any problems breathing. I said, "No." And he was angry, and he turned around, whipped out of the room.
Let's stop right there. So you're there. You are not even there because of COVID. You're there because you had something else going on health-wise that alerted you to get it checked, which is what people are supposed to do. And they give you the world-famous swab-in-the-nose test, I guess, or something like it, declare you have COVID. and you're functioning just fine, and now they're demanding you be admitted, so you're now admitted to the hospital, and a doctor comes in and wants to ask, how would you like to be in a ventilator? And your answer was no, and they're mad, so continue your story.
So they admitted me, and then they took away all my vitamins, and they asked, they said, you know, do you want to take remdesivir? I was trying to get ivermectin, and my daughter is my healthcare proxy, my power attorney, whatever, and that was all set up ahead of time. So they were trying to get me to take remdesivir, and I called the doctor friend and said, what do you know about remdesivir? And he said, that's the protocol. Go ahead, take it. So they didn't tell me anything about side effects or anything. So I agreed to remdesivir. At some point, a physical therapist came in, evaluated me, said, you seem to be doing fine, because I could get up and walk around, you know, get dressed, whatever. And he said, I think they'll be sending you home. And then, like, the next day, the nurse was saying, I think they're going to send you home tomorrow. You seem to be getting better. And I started telling my friends, family, I'm going home tomorrow. And the next morning, I woke up, and I was sedated. And they said they were putting me on a ventilator.
And okay, let's pause right there. I want to make sure that everybody listening heard that. You're doing better. The nurses say you're doing better. You go to bed. Were they giving you any kind of medications in the hospital you may have not even identified at that point? Or I'm just curious.
I didn't know really what they were giving me.
But you wake up and you're sedated.
Right. I can't get out of bed. And I mean, before that, I could get up and walk around, do whatever. But all of a sudden, I can't get out of the bed.
And it's not because of COVID. It's not because you can't breathe or something. It's just because you are probably, well, sedated. I know the feeling from having surgery.
Right. And then they were saying that they were putting me on the ventilator, and I was anxious about that. You know, I didn't want to go on the ventilator. But I thought my daughter had agreed to that. Now, just a couple months ago, we were talking, and we found out that each one of us had been told, had been talked to in such a way that we thought the other one had agreed to the ventilator. Neither one of us did. So they put me on a ventilator without any agreement from anybody.
How long were you on the ventilator?
Well, I was in a coma for 28 days. And three times they asked my daughter to sign a DNR. And the medical records say they wanted her to sign the DNR so that they could give me comfort care and let me die naturally.
This is insane. And the worst part is I keep hearing this same story from so many places all over the United States. It's like you go in sick and they make you sicker, or you go in and you may not even have COVID, but they almost kill you in the process. What was your saving grace? They had you in this coma for what, 28 days? And
well, there were several things that my daughter did that was very wise. One was I stood in the window and shone my flashlight so she knew which window was mine in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And when they asked her to sign the DNR, she would call the church for prayer. People would show up. And they would drive around the hospital seven times, stop in the parking lot, and pray towards my window. I think that probably had a great impact. There were hundreds of people around the country praying for me. And another thing she did was she had them put an iPad in my room so she could see me at all times. And she played KTIS, which is a Christian radio station, over the iPad. And the nurses said that my room was so peaceful, they would go in there to take breaks sometimes. And then at some point, I don't know when, I don't remember anything about the coma except this one part. And I saw a blindingly bright light. And I heard Jesus say, I have chosen you to live. Because my understanding is 90% of the people that receive that treatment died.
Mm-hmm.
Only 10% of us survived. Now, I do have kidney damage from the remdesivir.
Mm-hmm. And that's not surprising. That is one of the known side effects.
Right. And unless there's a miracle, I'll have to deal with that. But when I came to out of the coma, I had lost all my muscles. I'd lost 80 pounds in 28 days.
Wow.
And I had a feeding tube. I had a dialysis ports or whatever. And I had other ports where they would take blood and that kind of thing. And then I was draped. So at some point, the skin, your body begins to grow onto the ventilator. So they can't leave it in that long. So they had to take that out and give me a trach. And that's why my voice is kind of funny now.
Hmm.
But when I came to, I had a trach. I couldn't talk. I'm alone in the hospital. And then they have to quarantine me for 5 more days, which after 28 days, I don't have no... What in the world? I have no clue why you have to go 5 more days. That's crazy. And nobody would, they didn't really talk to me because I couldn't talk. You know, they'd come in and say, well, we're going to do this or that. But I didn't know how long I'd been in a coma. I didn't know where I was. I didn't know why there was nobody there. I felt totally abandoned, as if everyone had forgotten about me and I was alone. And that was the cruelest part of the whole thing, was that I just felt totally alone in the world, and I had nobody that cared anymore. And I had a stack of cards in the corner, but I couldn't see it, couldn't reach it, didn't know it was there. And so after 5 days, and my daughter and a friend came in, and I couldn't talk, so I just had to wait for them to tell me, you know. And all I could move was I could wiggle my hands and wiggle my feet. I couldn't lift my arms and my legs. I couldn't swallow. I couldn't breathe on my own. And I had to regain all of my abilities. So, you know, I had to learn to sit up and stand up and walk. And
mm-hmm.
So at this point, I'm in assisted living, and I can walk short distances with a walker. I use an electric wheelchair a lot of the times. But if I go someplace that is not very much walking, I'll take my walker.
Incredible. And what is so sad is I hear this similar stories like this from all over. Unnecessary treatment, treatments that don't make any sense, people being told they need to be on a ventilator because they have pneumonia and it's bacterial pneumonia, and you don't use a ventilator for bacterial pneumonia. I mean, this insanity, the protocols that came from the CDC, and as near as I can figure, everything you said is just the same stuff we keep hearing. This became the protocol, and if hospitals wanted to get paid, they had to follow the protocol. They couldn't break it. And I have to wonder how many people unnecessarily were severely injured, like you, or died unnecessarily, and for what? And for what purpose? What are you doing about this now with what they've done to you? Are you taking any kind of action at this point?
Well, I have joined a group called COVID Justice Minnesota. That's a statewide group, and we are trying to pursue some legal action. Part of the problem is that they are still using this protocol, and people are still dying from it. So that needs to stop, first of all. And then, it's like my ICU bill is almost $1 million, just that part of it. And the taxpayers paid for that. That was not paid for by my insurance. It was paid for by the American people, and that's not right either. So I don't totally have a very clear understanding of all the legal processes and everything, but we're trying to get them to stop doing the protocol and trying to get some recompense for what happened.
You would think, this is my opinion, and I'm just going to share it. There's so many doctors that if something like this was attempted, let's say 25 years ago, I don't think it would have happened. And here's why. I can remember so well. I'm 69 years old. So I can remember when you'd go to a doctor and he had his office and he had maybe his wife or a nurse working for him. It was a small practice. And they had the autonomy to make the best decision on behalf of their patient. And one thing I've noticed since around 2010, these small doctor offices have either been bought up, they retire out, and if you want to be a doctor nowadays, most of them work for a large clinic. They're employees of a large corporation, and these same corporations own or have rights or control at the hospital. And it appears to me, this is just my opinion, that many doctors are afraid, just completely afraid, to go against the rules of their employer because they could lose their job and be blackballed or lose their medical license. And so they go along to get along, where I don't think some doctors that I knew back in 2010, 2005, in the 1990s, I don't think they would have ever gone along with any of this. I don't know what your feeling is, but I'm just, you know, what is your feeling about the way the doctors seem to act in unison on this stuff?
Well, I agree with you in a great deal, in a great part of that. I think for the most part, that's the way it is. There are occasionally doctors that are willing to do certain things that are a little bit out of the guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, it's like, you go in, they look at you, they look at your symptoms, they go to the computer, and they do whatever the computer tells them to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it seems to happen. And, I mean, I had a trust for doctors, and I didn't even totally realize what had happened to me even when I woke up from all this. Mm-hmm. You know, I still had a certain amount of trust. But at this point, I have a very difficult time trusting doctors.
Oh, I agree. So do I.
You know, I question them. And I mean, I had doctors that came in and argued with me about all kinds of things. And I said to one of them, I said, I consider you an expert consultant, but I'm the one responsible for the final decision that's being made. I'm the one that has to answer for what I decide to do. You're a consultant. You don't get to order me around and tell me I have to do something, you know. I mean, we should have freedom and autonomy. And so, the medical profession used to be that they practiced and they geared their treatment to each person. And now it feels like, you know, you could have a robot in your doctor. And they just punch out the numbers, do what they are told to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I may be wrong.
No, I don't think you are. I think you're totally right. And really, you know, the breach of trust that has occurred with the medical community to patients, for many of these doctors that just followed blindly, especially when it came to COVID. Now, I know several doctors that were semi-retired or didn't care, or they still had a practice and they were not a part of a company. I know of one doctor personally in South Carolina that treated over 800 COVID patients, over 800. And some of these people were very sick. Only one of the 800 died, and that individual was almost 90 years of age with many underlying health conditions. The rest all lived, which means, and of course, he didn't use ventilators or remdesivir. He used hydroxychloroquine, and later on in his practice, even ivermectin. And standard protocols that were the normal things you'd do for a respiratory virus. And his success rate, he and many others that I've read about and know, speak for themselves. So why our own government? This is what angers me. This is our own government that was pushing this and put and hospitals and doctor corporations blindly followed. Many doctors that I've talked to, some lost their licenses and they're only just now getting them back because they dared defy, you know, the CDC protocol when it was obvious it was deadly. Estelle, all I can say is my prayers are with you. And what can we do? What can my audience do? What can we share? What information do you really believe needs to get out there for others to know?
Well, first of all, the COVID Justice Minnesota Group needs funds to help get lawyers to bring cases to correct some of these items. And we also need attorneys and we need nurses to review records. So we need people and we need funds to help do that. The other thing is that if you do go to the hospital, you can call COVID Justice Minnesota if you're in Minnesota, and they will do what they can to help. If you are very, very sick and you need to go to the hospital, they'll do what they can to help you, because there are still people getting this protocol and dying from it in Minnesota. Just last month, I heard about another case.
Incredible.
So that needs to stop. And people need to be informed. And, you know, there's just all kinds of research and information out there. So don't believe what you hear on the news, who are funded by these advertisers that are big pharmaceutical companies. And don't believe everything the CDC says, because, I mean, I was much more trusting before all this happened. And now I have a very difficult time just trusting the quote-unquote authorities, the people that should be doing what's right for you. But to me, they seem to be doing what's right for their pocketbook.
My guest today on this segment of Truth to Ponder, Estelle Senapol from Minnesota. And Estelle, thank you for sharing your story. I know it's not easy. And we've talked to a number of other people with their story. Some people that survived and others that lost a spouse or a parent unnecessarily to these absolutely insane COVID protocols. I opened the program with the question, will anybody ever be held accountable? Dr. Fauci on Monday, just waffling and just dodging questions. His arrogance speaks volumes. He doesn't think he needs to be held accountable. He's almost godlike in his persona. And besides, they got the desired political effect anyway. So that's all that really counted to them. We live in a very sad time where people are now acting like, well, you know, we didn't know. Yeah, you did. The science said, no, it didn't. Many scientists disagree, but see, disgusting places like Fascist Book, which is Facebook, they were bought and controlled by the government at the time. Twitter and others, YouTube, pretty much all social media, they suppressed the truth, and I want them held accountable. We were lied to, and we still are being lied to. Of course, we have a reprobate administration now of sickos, demonically possessed freaks in the White House. They don't care if you live or die. These stories have got to be told, and we can't forget. When anybody says, well, we didn't know, we need to move on. No, we do not need to move on. We need to hold these people accountable because they knew. And they're trying to cover up their tracks. They knew. Do you believe in our ministry here at Truth to Ponder? Visit our website, truth2ponder.com. Consider making a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia 24319. I'll give that address again in just a couple of moments so you have time to go get a pen or pencil. But right now, we do need to take a break.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
To go before kings, coming up. Shalom Aleichem. This is the Nice Jewish Boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. You look at the Bible, you see God's people often are called to appear before kings, to go before the rulers of their time. Moses goes before Pharaoh. David stands before, well, a great fighter, an awesome man, Goliath. Esther appears before Ahasuerus, the king. Peter stands before the Sanhedrin. Paul is going to go to Caesar. Notice a theme. God's people are called to walk into the throne rooms and approach kings and generals and powerful, mighty men. Ephesians says, we fight not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and principalities. It says rulers. The Greek word is arche, which means we fight with the top guys. We fight with the generals, which must mean that in Messiah, we must have incredible power or authority. Messiah said all authority was given him. Therefore, we're to go in the authority of the Great Commission. The word here is used is exousia, which means ability. All ability has been given you. Force, all capacity, all competency it means. Freedom, mastery is given you. Jurisdiction is given you. All liberty is given you. All power and strength. Wow, it's a lot. That's why you can go before kings, because the authority you have, that now you have greater authority than that of kings. It's the power, the authority of the King of Kings. And that means if you're in him, if you're in his will, you can do anything according to his will. So live strong, my friend. Live confidently, ably, powerfully, authoritatively, and overcome that sin, that bondage, that emotion, that hindrance, whatever it is, because of Messiah, you got the power, even the power to stand before kings. Want more? Ask for Approaching Ahasuerus on CD. Now, the free gift for you, from the sands of Judea, the wilderness to the wings of the cherubim, the awesome rabbi's mystery in the hidden writings of the rabbis that talk about Jesus. The mystery of the temple doors, you're going to love it. And it's yours free. Only place you can get it is here. It's on CD. It's your gift. Plus, sapphires, you're also going to love that too. How do you get it? Easy. Just remember Yeshua, Jesus' real Hebrew name, and you dial it. So to receive your free gifts, just call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. Now, you might need to minister with me together to bring salvation to God's ancient people, Israel, and the unreached peoples of all across the world through shortwave radio. It's amazing. It's the farthest way you can ever spread the gospel. Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's 1-800-YESHUA-1. Or you can write me direct. Just write to the Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111, Lodi, New Jersey, 07644. It's the Nice Jewish Boy. It's Box 1111. It's Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, and the zip 07644. Till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, walk with the king, my friend. Peace be to you in Messiah, Melech HaMalchim, the King of Kings.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of Truth to Ponder for this Wednesday. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Want to give you that mailing address and website address, because sometimes I know we kind of sneak up on you and you don't get a chance to write it down. Our website address is truth2ponder.com. truth2ponder.com. You can find out where to hear us, what radio stations, what online stations, and even as a podcast. truth2ponder.com. Also a link for Give, Send, Go, a Christian company that we use for online giving securely. They have been great to deal with for several years now. No complaints at all. So if you prefer to give online, you can go to the website and there's a link to support us, a couple of them, and you can then find how to use Give, Send, Go. Or you can make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio. Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowie, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia. And the zip code in Chilhowie, 24319. That's 24319. We could certainly use your support to pay for the shortwave airtime. We're trying to grow this program, and I'm the unpaid employee. There's no paid employees. And so your gift keeps us going. And I just want to thank you in advance for what you've been doing to keep Truth to Ponder on the air. We're closing on 4 years now, and a lot of stories yet to share. A couple of things in the background. I'll be doing some work this week on my little studio here at the house. Some of this equipment I've been using is getting a little bit old. I've had it for years, and I've been having some issues, and we're going to be doing a few upgrades. If you would like to help in that, you could kind of mark that on your giving. We have to replace the main computer. It is just beginning to become problematic, and I just don't want to be caught one day where the thing fails. So we're working on it. Keep us in prayer. Jim Calhoun, you hear him quite often here on this program, has been so beneficial to me during this time of work and also recuperation from surgery. And Jim said he'd be happy to help out today and share some thought about some of the fake and phony leaders that we have. And they're not just reserved to one party. You find them in both parties. And so, Jim, I'm going to hand the microphone over to you.
Thanks, Bob. And once again, it's great to be back on Truth to Ponder. Well, today I'm going to be talking about our quote-unquote leadership. And when I say our, I'm meaning the people of the world, the common people. Just what do we have leading us? Just what kind of people do we have in charge of things? All you have to do is look at politics in the United States and look at Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell. It doesn't matter which party they're from, AOC. We have a bunch of self-serving people that have no clue that they're public servants. None whatsoever. And then you look in Canada, you look at Justin Trudeau and the people that follow him like lapdogs in Canada. Again, he has no clue he's a public servant. You look at the leadership that Germany has had, and you can go back to Angela Merkel and also the president of France, both the current president and the one before him. Their arrogance is just unreal. They sat with the leaders of Russia and Ukraine, and they helped hammer out the Minsk Agreement. And Ukraine plus Germany and France had no intentions of Ukraine fulfilling any part of that agreement, and they didn't. These people call themselves statesmen. They call themselves patriots. They call themselves lots of things, but in reality, they're all self-serving. I know a lot of people don't like Donald Trump. I understand that. But do you realize that he's the only president that we've had since Ronald Reagan that was not truly self-serving? Now, you might say, well, he's serving his ego. And yes, Donald Trump has a huge ego, and he loves to feed that ego. There's no doubt about that. But there's also no doubt that he wanted to build his ego on how well he could help our country. That's how he was building his ego, is by making America do better than it had done in years, possibly ever. And so, yes, his ego could get in the way, but the end result was still you and me being better off. You look at illegitimate Joe Biden and his whole family, how corrupt they are. Just absolutely, totally corrupt to the marrow of their bones, enriching themselves in every different way they can. You know, you got to give the big guy his 10%. I don't understand why he hasn't been called out on the carpet for that. And then you look at Nancy Pelosi and her husband and all the riches they've gained. And you look at Gavin Newsom in California. You look at the governor of New York. You look at Lindsey Graham. You look at all of these people and you wonder, what is going on? What do we have for leadership? What kind of people are these? Where do these people come from? Are they just swamp creatures? Do they have any faith in God at all? Or do they just conveniently give lip service? It's kind of like every year you have these demonic Democrats that are openly pro-abortion, they're openly anti-God, but yet they want to get the black vote so they end up in a black church and act like they're the biggest Christian ever. And then when they leave that church, they go right back to their demonic ways. It's all so phony, and people can't see through it. I don't understand why people just don't see through that and call them out for the hypocrites that they are. But we have to ask ourselves, what kind of people are ruling things right now? And who put them in power? Look at Zelensky in Ukraine. He's no longer president. Oh, he's acting as president. Yes, he is. But his term expired. And now he's a dictator. And so Ukraine is now a dictatorship. It's not a democratic republic. And there's no democracies out there. These people that keep calling our type of government a democracy are just very ignorant. We're not a democracy, and Ukraine might have been a democratic republic at one time, but they're now a dictatorship. You look at the leadership in Germany. They're on the brink of putting Germany in the Third World War they've been in. And unfortunately for Germany, they're going to lose all three. And I'm going to say that this time, Germany is going to get hammered by Russia so hard, Germany will not recover. Not for a lot of generations. We're looking at hatred. We're looking at stupidity on a scale I've never seen before. I don't understand why we, the people, don't stand up and demand diplomacy, demand that we have statesmen. But the people who are in charge are so corrupt that they might listen to what we say and they might give us lip service, but are they going to actually do anything that is going to be for the benefit of their country and their fellow countrymen? What I've seen, I doubt that. I really seriously doubt that we have anyone in Washington or in any other place of government in the Western world anyway. I don't think we have anyone that has simply the best interests of their people at heart. And like I stated earlier, Donald Trump, I think, is the closest we've ever had to that. But of course, the left has made him into some evil character, and saying, make America great again, is one of the most evil things you could possibly say. Because the left says that means to bring back slavery. It's ridiculous. And speaking of slavery, small rabbit trail here, I've been watching videos of slave trading happening in Africa. Blacks selling other blacks in 2024. And not just a few either. Multitudes of slaves. And so where's the outrage? Well, I, for one, am going to raise an outrage right here. I think it's totally wrong. It needs to stop. It needs to be stopped. It needs to disappear from the world forever. But yet, you have all of these people in Washington, D.C. that know it's going on. They turn a blind eye to it. And now you look at what's going on in Germany, where they're going to decriminalize having child pornography. They're going to make it a misdemeanor. And so you're going to have pedophiles, and the German government has had pedophiles in their government for years. And I know a lot was made of pedophiles in our government for the last 10 or 15 years. And originally, I did not believe that. I thought that was way far-fetched. But after doing the research on that, I do believe that pedophiles are also in our government. I think that homosexuals are prevalent in many governments. I think that's the problem. I think that we have a lot of people that have mental issues that are in charge of a lot of things, and they don't realize they're public servants. They think they're dictators. They think they're kings or queens. And I don't know why there are so many homosexuals that are being elected to office. I guess it's the new hip thing to do is to have a homosexual as a governor or president or a high up official. But what we're finding is that as the morality of this world crumbles, so does our whole quality of life. Everything is tumbling. You have small children as young as 7 going in front of school boards reading some very inappropriate material, and it's simply X-rated pornography that they're putting in the hands of our young children. And so now we have young children going in front of school boards reading from books that the children are exposed to on a daily basis. And the school board has the audacity to shut these children down or their parents down and say they don't want to hear it. It has no place in their school board meeting. But yet they have absolutely no intention of stopping the stocking of these books in their libraries. These people are just plain evil. I literally think that every office from dog catcher on up, your school boards and your city councils, I think all these people are evil. Now, not all of them are evil, but I think that by and large, as a whole, this group of so-called leaders are the most evil people that we've ever had collectively in office right now as far as being evil. And how these people are getting away with thievery and bribery, corruption, lying, deceit, and in some cases, murder. And I know that's a great conspiracy theory about the Clintons, but look at the evidence and decide for yourself. There is an awful lot wrong with leadership in the entire world. I think that the people we have in charge at the Pentagon are corrupt, and I don't think it's just the United States. I see that the Russians have put one of their generals on trial for being corrupt. And so corruption is rampant. It's everywhere. And these people that call themselves leaders when they're really public servants, but they don't think of themselves as anything but dictators and kings and queens, these people are so out of control that it's going to be almost impossible to rein them in. I know that we have elections coming up, and I know that I'm very sour on elections. 2020 really soured me. When I saw votes disappearing from Donald Trump, when I saw the cardboard going up as they counted votes in Philadelphia, when I saw the ballots appear from under the tables in Georgia, when I see the corruption that they've had in Arizona and in Minnesota and Wisconsin and all the other swing states, it just makes you sick. And then you look at the political machine that's in Chicago, when you have the politicians that claim to be for the black people, but yet when you have black-on-black violence, and a lot of people are losing their lives, and I'm talking about black people, nothing's ever said. And if you point that out, you're a racist somehow, but I thought black lives were supposed to matter. And I do believe that the victims who are black in Chicago, they're not being served. It seems that nobody cares, and we should care, because yes, those lives do matter, as do the lives of Asians and Caucasians, Europeans, Hispanics, indigenous peoples of the world. It does not matter, because we're all made in the image of God, every one of us. And every one of us is a sinner. No matter what color our skin is, we're all sinners. We all need Jesus, and we all need our Heavenly Father. But we have these people that are anti-Jesus and anti-God. They eliminated prayer from our public schools. Everything that was right and good about our public education was stripped, and now you see the mess that our public education is in. I think all the integrity has been stripped from Washington, D.C. I think the politicians we have there now are despicable. I think they're disgusting. And what they're doing is despicable and disgusting as well. And I don't know what we're going to do about things as far as leadership. We can continue to vote and continue to pretend that things can change at the ballot box. But after seeing the ballots being stuffed in Georgia and the votes being counted behind cardboard in Philadelphia and these electronic voting machines that are easily hacked and manipulated, and the companies that make these voting machines know this, but yet they'll sue anybody that comes against them. We live in an upside-down world. We truly do. And I don't see any hope whatsoever if we count on man to fix this, because man is the problem. And the corruption has been so deep for so long that it's so firmly entrenched that even if we voted in someone who is just absolutely wonderful, uncorruptible, that person would be run out of Washington, D.C. on a rail by the corrupt politicians that are already there. You have to play the game, or you don't last very long. So I'm looking at our leadership, and I'm wondering what in the world has happened that our leadership is so disconnected from reality. Our leadership is so disconnected from we the people. Giving billions to Ukraine, saying that that's a good investment, while our own infrastructure is crumbling, while we have veterans who literally live on the streets and are starving, when we have people forced to take vaccines that are just experimental drugs, they're not vaccines at all. But yet giving money to Ukraine, that's a good investment. Forcing all these mandates on people and everything they did to wreck our economy and close down small businesses all across the United States, that was evil. That's what our leadership is evil. Now, I've been a lifelong Republican. I am no longer. I'm an independent. Because I see that we have one coin with two very evil sides. One is a Democrat, the other is Republican. In some ways, they walk hand in hand, and they're the same kind of evil. In other ways, they're evil in different ways, but they're evil nonetheless. You might say, well, what have the Republicans done that's evil? Well, plenty. One of the things Republicans have done that's evil is allowing political prisoners to languish in Washington, D.C., while these same Republicans did not stand up for Donald Trump when he was president. They allowed the election to be stolen. These people have given away billions of dollars to lost causes like Ukraine. These people are in office right now while our southern border is wide open. And we have nitwits like Kamala Harris, that is supposedly the czar of the southern border. As far as I know, she's never been there. And then with all these assassinations that somebody is ordering, and you know darn well it's from one of the Western countries, if it's not from the United States, it's from Great Britain or Israel or another Western country. So we have coup attempts and assassination attempts. Everything is going horribly wrong right now. But I have to look at the leadership in each country. What's wrong with these people? And what can we do to right the ship? Now, speaking for the United States, I think the United States politicians are so corrupt that they'll change any law, they'll redistrict any congressional district so the incumbent can always win. We're going to have all these lifelong politicians that are supposedly serving, and I use that word very lightly, for decades, when in reality what they're doing is just gathering wealth for themselves and their families. The United States has slipped into third world status as far as politically. And if these politicians keep pushing the way they're pushing, soon we will be a third world country in every aspect. As each business dies, as our middle class dies, as the gap between rich and poor grows, we sink further into third world country status. And I've got to be honest, if our dollar does collapse and if we do indeed slip into being a third world country, if we no longer have the military power to back anything up, then I think that the world is going to be absolutely relentless and punitive against the United States for all of the things the United States has done through the years with sanctions and invading other countries. I really do believe that it's going to be soon that we, the people, are going to really feel it, possibly even suffer immensely, because our corrupt government has done this to us. But yet we sit back and watch it happen. Something has to be done. On another episode, I mentioned that we should pray, and I'm going to mention it again. We need to stay in prayer. I, for one, do not condone or support any of the corrupt politicians. And I do my best to expose them and stand against them. We have to do that as a people. I don't know what you think of our quote-unquote leaders, but I think they're disgusting. And I think they need to go. I know we have an election, but we have a choice between bad and worse. I think that Donald Trump was a breath of fresh air, as was Ronald Reagan, that they were actually people you voted for instead of you were voting for them to be against the other person. But I'm going to say right now that Donald Trump has to really straighten up and clean house and get rid of all these people that are backstabbers that are his advisors. Like his son-in-law, he needs to distance himself immensely from him. I know there's a lot of things broken and a lot of things that need to be fixed. So we need to stay in prayer. We need to stay hopeful, but we can't be naive and unrealistic. I know that ultimately the best thing that can happen is the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, it looks like my time is up. I want to thank Bob Bierman for allowing me to speak to you today. And until next segment, everyone, stay positive. Keep things real. Keep your powder dry. And never, ever forget. Replace fear with faith. Now back to Bob.
And Jim, thank you so much for helping me out today. My friend Jim Calhoun has been stepping up to the plate to give me a little time to do some recuperation from surgery. I want to thank all of you that listen and support this program each week. Without you, we wouldn't be here. We work hard to bring you a program you can depend on and give you accurate information. And we really believe in using shortwave, as I don't trust a lot of the internet that we are having to depend on each and every day. This program can be pulled in just seconds by a big tech company. And so we always want to have another way of getting the program out, shortwave, and perhaps even our own way of getting directly to you. If you believe in our mission and ministry, maybe you've never supported us, but today would be a great time as we are in this Pride cometh before the fall month of June. Would you consider helping us? You can visit the website truth2ponder.com. You can support us from there or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, P.O. Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, and the zip code 24319. And we'll see you again tomorrow.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder. Shining the light of truth in a darkening world.